Back alleys and the rec centers of PG County to the bright lights of Madison Square Garden. This game gave me a blueprint for life. So fasten your seatbelt and take this ride with me. Through the players, the legends, the history, and the future. This is basketball culture with Penny Green. It's more than just a game. It's a culture. You're killing them, Slim. You're killing them.
Basketball culture.
The champion in you. Hello, my global basketball community. It's your boy, Penny Green, and I'm back. This is show number 2, and the title of this show is The City Game. If you're wondering what city, there is only one city when it comes to the city game, and that's New York City, the Big Apple. You know, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Frank Sinatra, New York, okay? Listen, they won the NBA championship after a couple decades. The city went crazy. Every celebrity in the city was out for the celebration. And last time I checked, I mean, there was parties everywhere. It was parties for the parties. Last time I checked, they're still partying. It's a special kind of love for basketball in New York City. And I've known it all my life. Growing up in Washington, D.C., it was another level. You know, folks would say there's levels to this stuff. So anyway, I'm going to talk about my journey from Southeast Washington, D.C. to Madison Square Garden. It's a crazy, crazy journey. My childhood begins, my life begins in Southeast Washington, D.C. Pretty challenging, you know, community. And my mother then moves us up to Edmondson Village, West Baltimore. They call it the village. So you learn at a very early age in a village how to run. That's the number one key component for success. Knowing when to run, how to run. You become a runner early in life. There was a park that I played Little League baseball in called Lincoln Park. My mother always said, don't hang out at Lincoln Park past dark. Just don't do it. Make sure you leave. And everyone thought it was kind of a mythical, weird Friday the 13th type stuff going on. But I went back and did some research. In retrospect, back in the days between 64 and I was there between 64 and 69, there actually was 4 young people murdered in the same park woods that I played in on a regular basis. So I listen to your mother, okay? When she tells you something, listen. Thank God I made it through that episode. And then later in life, I'm looking at HBO, The Wire, an acclaimed show, The Wire. And they're walking through Lincoln Park looking for bodies. I found out at a later date doing research, they called it Murder Park. So thank God my mother got me out of that environment. And she kind of saw the writing on the wall, kind of wanted to be my uncle. She moved us to Greenbelt, Maryland, breath of fresh air. Now, PG County was different. They had recreation centers every place, and that's where I got a chance to really develop my basketball game. And I learned how to compete. I learned mental toughness. I really became a bucket getter. Okay. And everyone knows Kevin Durant came from PG County. You know what I mean? That's like the well-known fact. And so generations before Kevin Durant, PG County already had a very solid basketball culture. And I was fortunate to be able to develop my skills in that environment. Now I get to high school. Things are going good. I'm at Parkdale High School. And in Washington, the most prestigious thing you can do as a player is become what they call an all-metropolitan, make the all-metropolitan. So I was an all-metropolitan in the Washington Post, which is one of the most famous papers in the world. In those days, probably had about 600,000 circulation, and the Washington Star. So what does that mean? Like, people would call you up and say, Penny Green, are you going to be in the picture this year? I'm like, a picture? Yeah, it was critical. It was like the most critical thing you could do as a ball player is become an all-metropolitan. just to give you an idea of the distinction, let me give you a few names of people who were all Metropolitans that came out of Washington. Elgin Baylor, Hall of Fame, first black superstar in the NBA. He's got a statue outside the Staples Center. Dave Bink, Hall of Fame, first guard to lead the NBA in scoring. Austin Carr, College Player of the Year in 71, number one pick in 71, and he still holds the NCAA record for most points in a single game with 61. Crazy. The whole team didn't score 61. He scored 61 by himself. The last person I want to reference is Adrian Dantley, who I play with a lot. Olympic gold medalist, NBA Rookie of the Year, over 23,000 points. And he's tied for the record for most free throws in a single game. He had 28 free throws, and he's tied with Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. So that's quite a distinction. So those are some of the individuals that were all met. And I like to say being an All-Metropolitan is like having a badge of honor. It's a really prestigious thing when you come out of Washington and you accomplish that. From PG County, I went off to college at the University of South Florida. I became the first player to score 1,000 points in the school's history. And today my picture and my name hangs on the school's wall of fame. But numbers don't tell it all. Basketball gave me experiences that I would never think I would have experienced coming out of Southeast Washington and West Baltimore. Those experiences happened. One of those experiences happened in the world's most famous basketball venues. That was Madison Square Garden. But we'll get back to that subject. After college, I had an opportunity with the Hawks, Hubie Brown. I got cut. But I just want you to understand one thing, and that is I had a pro game. Trust and believe, I had a pro game. And when I say that, I was a physical guard. I wanted to punish my opponent physically. If you guarded me, you know, you would feel me. You know what I'm saying? When you left the gym, I wanted to have a piece of your spirit. I wanted to make sure that you was thinking about me after you left the gym. I wanted you to remember every drive, every collision, every possession, you know, everything I wanted you to earn. If you scored, I could score the basket, but I was more interested in other things. I wanted to impose my will on you. I wanted to make you feel uncomfortable. I wanted to challenge you physically and mentally. I didn't want to just beat my opponents. I wanted them to feel like they had been in a war. So, yeah, I did have a pro game. From player, I became a historian. Over the decades, I became a student. A historian of the game. The late, great D.C. coach and radio celebrity Butch McAdams called me the Wikipedia D.C. basketball. Quite a compliment. I created a website, dcbasketball.com. I appeared in Kevin Durant's documentary, Basketball County in the Water. And I'm part of the Washington Basketball Hall of Fame Committee. Started this show, Basketball Culture. So I played it. I studied it. I lived it. I've been around people who made the game. And I spent my life trying to understand what makes this game just so very special. That journey qualifies me to talk about the game of basketball. So, just so you know. Now we get ready to get to the meat and potatoes of this storyline. New York City, the city game. The first book I ever read in my whole life was The City Game by Pete Exum. And I was feeling it. It was like the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. To this day, I believe it's the greatest basketball book I've ever read, I should say. The book helped me understand the magic of basketball. Exum wrote about the playgrounds, the battles, the characters who made New York basketball mythical. The Connie Hawkins, with the one hand swooping through the air, the Tony Archibald rolling around on roller skates, running past you on roller skates, Bob Cousy, the first guard to start throwing behind the back passes, came out of a tough Irish neighborhood. The great Luau Sindor with the skyhook. Luau Sindor says the greatest player ever played against, Earl the Goat, Manico. And of course, Julius Erving, all New York legends. Okay? You didn't just read about these players. You could almost hear them bouncing the ball. You could feel the crowd surrounding the court. You could feel New York City. It's an amazing book. Amazing. And there's something about New York that is difficult to explain. I mean, if you haven't experienced it, and I try to tell you these things, you might not really feel it. The game becomes part of you when you're young and never completely leaves you. When you get married to a woman, but basketball still feels like your first love. That's New York City, okay? Your wife is there, but your first love is New York City basketball. The book follows the championship between the Knicks and my two favorite players played for the Knicks, Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe. They had a special something. They had that swag and they had that confidence. New York basketball has its own personality, and I got to experience it firsthand. Like, basketball is everywhere in New York. When I was in junior high school, they took us on a field trip, right? We go to Radio City Hall, we go to Chinatown. I'm looking off in the distance and see some Asian brothers playing basketball. But what was amazing is they all had handles like Kimbo Walker and Kyrie Irving. Like, all them guys can really handle the ball. You know what I mean? This is a whole nother culture that I'm not familiar with, but they're handling the ball better than anybody I know. You know, it's crazy. I remember another experience, okay? I was in New York in Manhattan, and people were coming out the skyscrapers, you know, having lunch. They had the little bag lunches. And instead of going to the park, they were going to the basketball court. They were sitting in the stands watching guys play half-court basketball. Only in New York. You get that kind of vibe, you know? It's not simply entertainment. Basketball is part of the rhythm of the city. And then my favorite two players coming out of high school and going into college were two New Yorkers. One was a guy named Gus Williams. And Gus Williams was from money-earning Mount Vernon. Gus was clever. He was quick. He was always under control. And he had that sauce. And what's even more unique about him, you know, is that he tied his shoestrings on the back of his ankle. Like, the strings would come around, he would tie them up on the backside of the shoe, which made him very unique. It's a little different style. And I remember him coming to the Urban Coalition in Washington, dropping 63, and then running out the gym. It's like, I showed you what I had. I gave you the buckets. It's time to go. The other guy that I was in love with back in those days was a guy named Lloyd Freed. World be free. And the nice thing about Lloyd is he was explosive. He got up nice and high on his jumper. And he scored points in bunches. And he had supreme confidence. And I took that from him. You got to feel confident, be confident to be successful in the game of basketball. And when he came to D.C., I got a call from one of my buddies. They was like, Penn, get to the gym immediately. I'm like, what's the problem? There's a guy at the gym. And he looks like Mighty Mouse. I said, what? And he had big arms. He had big bowling ball shoulders. And he was going to the basket. He was kicking people. I said, oh, I get it. He looks like Mighty Mouse. So very interesting, the New York experience. Being a Washingtonian, you know, New York kind of set the bar, set the standard. So I think we're going to take a break now. And then we're going to be right back at you.
Every business wants more visibility, more customers, and more opportunities to grow. Now you can put your brand in front of one of the most passionate sports audiences in the Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia region. Advertise with DCBasketball.com, the trusted online home for the history, culture, players, coaches, and traditions of basketball throughout the DMV. In 2025 alone, DC Basketball.
basketball.com generated more than 37,000 unique visitors, 52,000 website visits, over 81,000 page views, and more than 800,000 website hits. That's year-round exposure to athletes, coaches, families, alumni, and basketball fans who are actively engaged with our community. Whether you're in real estate, healthcare, legal services, restaurants, automotive, education, retail, financial services, or sports and fitness, your next customer could be just one click away. Reserve your banner advertising space today and put your business where the DMV basketball community comes together. Where the game lives on and your business gets seen.
It's your boy, Penny Green. I'm back at you. I'm telling you about my New York experience, telling you that there's a certain special kind of love for the game of passion that you can't find in many cities for the game of basketball. So, now life is, they talk about coming full cycle. Now, experiencing, watching the game from New York City from a distance, and now come to find out Penny Green is actually going to be playing in the Garden. I'm like, what? So the coach, we had our best season. You know, we were 19-8, and we thought we were going to receive a invitation to the NIT, but unfortunately it never happened. My coach, Bill Gibson, developed a friendship with the New York Yankee owner, George Steinbrenner, and he got us connected. We were going to play in Madison Square Garden. Crazy. Excited. And because when I graduated high school, the Knicks actually won the championship in like 74. So I actually, you know, got to see the magic of the Garden action. So now we're going to play there. A full day of basketball. It's like a tournament. Iona against USF. Cincinnati against Rutgers. Charlotte against Seton Hall. And that night, the Knicks and the Nets played game. So it's a day of basketball in Madison Square Garden. So, yeah, I'm kind of psyched up a little bit. I get a chance to experience the world's most famous sports arena. Because I played basketball in Tampa, you know, my family rarely got to see me play. Now my mother is coming to the game, and of course, short, I see a sharp fox coat, fox looking like a Broadway model out of New York. They were like, is that your mother? Yeah, mother. And then my uncle, you know what I'm saying? He was there in the new Benz. He had just got back from, you know, places you don't want to go. So he was in a brand new Mercedes, tough guy. And then there was another twist, and that was that the coach had been telling my mother I wasn't playing up to my potential, and I was, you know, causing conflict. You know what I mean, but a DC guy, we're independent. When we see something we don't like, question the coach, and the nerve of me as a young man to question him. So, you know, kind of had me in the doghouse. Now my mother's in Madison Square Garden. Game gets going. First half is mediocre. The second half, I'm realizing if I don't get moving, he's going to be able to say, I told you. So I had to make my move. And that's when it happened. Yeah, I started making the big boy moves on the New York City boys. Drove left, jumped in the air, spun 360, was airborne, came up on the other side and laid it in for finger roll. To give you an example of visualization, there's a boy in the NBA named Morant, J.A. Morant. There's a lot of those 360 spins. So all of a sudden, I realized, slipping. I'm like, wait a second. I never did that before. But I'm not going to tell anybody. It's called the zone. If you've ever If you ever had to experience the zone, it's almost impossible to explain. It's an experience in which you almost observe the game from outside of your own body. Your spirit takes on a heightened sense of creativity and accuracy. You are seeing things before they even happen. Call it the zone. You're no longer thinking about the next move. You just know the game slows down. The basket gets bigger. The instincts take over, and suddenly you're doing things that you didn't plan to do. It just happened. Like that 360 spin, it just came to me naturally. I didn't plan it. I just jumped, went in the air, spun 360 and finger roll. Just a beautiful. It just happened. That's the zone. And once you make that move, I knew I had something going strong. I could hear the brothers from my owner whispering as I went down court. Good shot, money. What? Busting your teammate? And you compliment me in the middle of the game? Only in New York. That could happen nowhere else. Only in New York City. Because of the love of the game, the appreciation of what I was doing was bigger than the game itself. I scored again. I came down six consecutive times. I was moonwalking. You know what I mean? I was feeling my goodness. Okay? 13 points, 15 points in 4.5 minutes. Everything had slowed down for me. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. The basket looked large. I wasn't thinking anymore. I was just playing. That's what I've learned about the zone. You can either block out the noise or you can become part of it. That afternoon, I became part of it. The crowd, the energy, the basketball, the moment, it all became one. The zone is a high in that. Very difficult to describe when your mind, your body, your instincts, your creativity all become one. Your spirit takes over. The zone is a high that's hard to describe. I like to call it the Holy Ghost Zone. Okay? Tampa broadcaster Jack Harris was at the game, icon, media icon in Tampa. He was described what he witnessed. One of the greatest basketball performances he'd ever seen. I finished the game 13 of 17 from the floor, 76%, 3 for 3 from the line, 100%. And then, with 1 minute and 12 seconds remaining, I fouled out. A little dejected, had my head dropped. I'm heading to the bench. All of a sudden, it happened. Wow, stood up. I'm like, what? More than 5,000 people in Madison Square Garden give it from Southeast Washington, D.C., by way of West Baltimore, by way of PG County, by way of South Florida, a standing ovation. Think about that. They aren't many ball players. Say they have received a standing ovation from the opposing crowd, especially Madison Square Garden. At that time, I didn't fully understand what happened. Probably took me about 20 years to grasp what happened. But every time I turned on TV to watch a ball game, they would say, the world's most famous sports arena. I was like, wait a second. Did I actually have my best game? World's most famous. Yeah, that was the reality of the situation. I called it God in my Holy Ghost Zone. Was the next few minutes, I was unconsciously creating those moves. The moves were coming from natural instinct. As I would say, I was slipping into darkness. The noise disappeared. The game slowed down. Creativity took over. That's what they call the zone. I'll never forget how that felt. Why Madison Square Garden is so different?
Kobe Bryant described it as the Mecca of basketball. Kobe went into the building and dropped 61. Michael Jordan understood the Garden too. Jordan talked about it. The history and basketball knowledge of New York fans. He went into Garden and dropped 55. LeBron also expressed his experience. He said, New York basketball fans will cheer for you, for an opponent, when you're not even, you know, when they don't even witness. They'll cheer for an opponent when they're not witnessing, when they're witnessing something special. Sorry about that. So LeBron, Mike, Kobe all bring to the light a special aura around Madison Square Garden. They understood the game. So, yeah, I feel pretty good to be part of that fraternity. So, not just statistics, not just who's basketball culture. We're not looking to just talk about statistics. We're not just talking about who's better than who. We want to talk about the culture, the playgrounds, the neighborhoods, the characters, the legends. Most importantly, we want to have the best stories, the places, the rivals, and the styles, and the people who helped us fall in love with the game. I'm going to play a little song for you. My buddy from Kingdom Life Media Group put together describing my experience at Madison Square Garden, and then we're going to close this narrative out.
Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. And that young man became the noise. Madison Square Garden, bright lights shining. 20,000 screaming, history hanging from the rafters. Legends built their names in this building. Champions earned their respect here. But on this night, something different was happening. My OG always said, most players hear the noise. Great players block out the noise. But every once in a while, a special player becomes the noise.
That night,
I became the noise. Every dribble echoed through the building. Every shot raised the volume. Every basket made the garden shake. The crowd wasn't watching me. The crowd became part of me. I became the noise.
The roar, the thunder,
the sound of basketball heaven.
Madison Square Garden,
the world's most famous arena. I wasn't playing in the garden.
I was part of the garden.
I became the noise.
County raised me 25.7 every night. All met pop. Three level store of deep range, mid range, attack mode. Whatever the game needed, defenders looking lost. One looked at me and said,
the only person stopping you is you.
Another told me,
man, you floating.
Like I was sitting in a lazy boy chair in the middle of the air. Everything slowed down, every move felt automatic. Every shot felt perfect.
Madison Square Garden.
I wasn't playing in the garden, garden. I was part of the garden.
Then darkness came, not fear, not panic, not confusion, darkness. The place where athletes lose awareness of everything except performance. The crowd disappeared, the scoreboard disappeared, time disappeared. Only basketball remained, instinct took over. The game started playing itself. And I follow. I took a bite out of the Big Apple and it was delicious. 13 for 17 from the floor. Buckets, smoke, fire. A 360 spin move, finger roll. Crowd losing their minds, even opponents smiling.
Good shot, money.
Only New York.
Only New York respects greatness.
While it's happening.
Because New York
understands basketball.
New York respects
basketball.
New York loves.
See, everybody saw Madison Square Garden, but they didn't see the road that got me there. They didn't see the bus rides, the long practices, the empty gyms, the days when nobody knew my name. The nights I shot until my hands hurt. The mornings I woke up before the sun. The losses that taught me, the failures that shaped me, the pressure that forged me. Greatness ain't born under bright lights. Greatness is built in the dark. When nobody's clapping, when nobody's posting, when nobody's watching, that's where.
garden started shaking. I wasn't surprised, I had already lived this moment. A thousand times in my mind, the crowd was finally catching up to what I already knew. I became the noise,
the roar, the thunder,
the sound of basketball heaven.
Madison Square Garden,
the world's most famous arena. I wasn't playing in the garden,
I was part of the garden. One minute remained, whistle blew, I fouled out. Thought my night was over, then it happened. One section slew, then another, until the entire garden was standing, applauding, saluting, celebrating. Not just the performance, the moment, the song, the experience, the fire,
the journey, my greatest game.
In the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden,
I didn't block out the noise,
I became the noise. I slipped in the darkness. I took a bite out of the apple, and it was delicious for one unforgettable night. Woo! Madison Square Garden
belonged to Lee,
and for one
unforgettable night,
I became the noise. My OJ name is Pennington Penny Green.
We're back with Basketball Culture and Penny Green. As we close out the show, I just want to say I got nothing but respect for New York City and their passion and their love for the game of basketball, because I love the game just as much. And as we close out, I just want to say thank you for spending time with Penny Green, Basketball Culture and Penny Green. And for all you guys out there, please make sure you tune into our next episode and stay focused, stay on point, and live your best life. Thank you so much.